looking at the farm's water supply and possible animal intrusions, among other things, and trying to figure out how the cantaloupes became contaminated. Listeria bacteria grow in most muddy conditions and are often carried by animals. The health officials said this is the first known outbreak of listeria in cantaloupe. Listeria is generally found in processed meats and unpasteurized milk and cheese, though there have been a growing number of outbreaks in produce. Amber called the outbreak a surprise and said the agencies are studying it closely to find out how it happened. Cantaloupe is often the source of outbreak. However, Frieden said the Central CDC has identified 10 other cantaloupe outbreaks in the last decade, most of them from salmonella. 21 people died in an outbreak of listeria poison in 1998, traced to contaminated hot dogs and possibly deli meats made by Bill Maher Foods, a subsidiary of Sara Lee Corporation. Another large listeria outbreak in 1985 killed 52 people and was linked to Mexican-style soft cheese. Listeria generally only sickens the elderly, pregnant women, and others with compromised immune systems. The CDC said the median age of those sickened is 78, and that one in five who contact the disease can die from it. Unlike many pathogens, listeria bacteria can grow at room temperature and even refrigerated temperatures. It is hardy and can linger long after the source of the contamination is gone. Health officials said people who may have had the contaminated fruit in their kitchens should clean and sanitize any surfaces it may have touched. The CDC said Tuesday that 13 deaths are linked to the tainted fruit. State and local officials say they are investigating 3 additional deaths that may be connected. The death toll released by the CDC Tuesday surpassed the number of deaths linked to an outbreak of salmonella in peanuts almost 3 years ago. 9 people died in that outbreak. The CDC reported 4 deaths in New Mexico, 2 deaths each in Colorado and Texas, and 1 death in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Maryland. New Mexico officials said Tuesday they are investigating a 5th death, while health authorities in Kansas and Wyoming said they too are investigating additional deaths possibly linked to the tainted fruit. The CDC reported the 72 illnesses and deaths in 18 states. Cases of listeria were produced in California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Texas, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. The most illnesses were reported in Colorado, which has seen 15 sickened. 14 issues were reported in Texas, 10 in New Mexico, and 8 in Oklahoma. Long article, but there you have it. So what's going on, man? You can't eat the fruit either?
No, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Wherever you have sewage and you got animal waste and stuff in any area, it doesn't matter where it is. And notice it wasn't in the fruit. It said it came from, that stuff comes from the animal.
Well, I mean, but don't they fertilize fruit with animal manure anyway?
Well, the way it works is it has to be decomposed. The correct barrier... bacteria that you don't put fresh manure on the crops. It's usually supposed to sit out for 6 months to a year.
Okay.
And then it decomposes and the bacteria goes in and eats up the bad part that we're talking about, the salmonella, and it eats through that, and the sunlight and the rays breaks it all down. See, that's why Yahweh's program is perfect. So that it'll break it down, and then once it decomposes, then it'll turn like into black dirt, and then you just put it back in, and that's supposed to fertilize the soil. So when they don't do that, or like right now, we have the way they have it is, if I'm correct, the way they raise pigs, chickens, and cows, and turkeys. The way they're raising them is that they have them in these containers, and they got them in, you know, these closed quarters, and then they're feeding them all this food, and they're just dropping manure and waste and all of that stuff all over, and then it overflows. So, like, if you have a river or if you have a overflow, like a hurricane come through, then what will happen is you will have this overflow of water on the farm, and so it will come out of the farm, and it'll start rolling down the hill, you know, as runoff. And then it'll get into the water supply, get into all these other different things, and then these other places, your crops and so forth, then it'll contaminate them. Yes. But also it's called, when we have it in the city, like I assume everybody's seen some of it, because all of these cities that were flooded and stuff, the water will actually get into the sewage, and then it'll mix with the sewage, and then the sewage will go into the lakes and stuff and then contaminate them that way. They call it storm water. Because of the storm waters, the water gets up so high that it starts dumping and putting the drinking water and the, and the sewage water together. So if y'all remember during that hurricane when it took the East Coast, they were telling people, do not drink the water.
Yeah,
so it has nothing to do with fruits or plants. It has to do with us having, you know, all of this waste and this waste.
Well, I mean, I know the fruits and plants are good. I'm just saying that because of the technologies and things we have today and all the hazards that you just mentioned, I'm saying that it is almost not safe to eat nothing.
No, that's not true. Those are accidents. It's like somebody saying it's not good to drink water. Well, why is it good to drink water? Because when you have the hurricane,
it's good to drink water, but what I'm saying is if the water has become contaminated, it ain't good to drink it.
Yeah, okay, but it depends on the contamination rate. Okay, now listen. Remember, most foods, not all foods, but most foods, they have a filtering system. Y'all would put a filtering system in them. Like, if I'm correct, that's
food itself?
Yes. Oh, that's why you have skin, and that's why you have all of those different things. Like, some of it will, you can put some in contaminated. Matter of fact, you can plant certain plants in an area where it's contaminated. Okay? You plant the plants there, and the plants will pull the poison out of the water and grab it, and then you take that plant and you unplant them and take them out and then, you know, destroy them. And it will clean the ground for you. Okay? So some of like that, some have filters that when the poison comes in, it filters it out such that it only the pure water gets through.
Well,
so, I mean, Yahweh has a plan for all of this stuff, man.
What's that system you've been working on? That eco, what is that system? The one that you had to do a report on where everything takes care of itself?
Oh, the sustainable systems?
Sustainable system. That's part of the sustainable system.
That is correct. And so Yahweh knew this would happen, and so these are the different things he had put in place. And I was really shocked when people had told me that. Like, some people said, if you don't get organic carrots, you can juice the poisons are in the bulk. So if you juice the carrots, you won't get any of the pesticides. But if you eat the carrots, you will, because it's in the fiber.
But it's not in the juice.
Yep, that's correct. Because the juice it's all filtered out, and it's not in the juice. It's in the fiber. So if you eat the fiber, yes, you will, you know, you'll get it. But if you just juice them, they said, no, it goes right out. So that's what I'm saying. Yahweh has got a perfect plan. It's like whatever man comes up with, he got a solution. And so the key is we got to start understanding how do you do that. Now, did y'all know that just this weekend was the feast of the blowing of trumpets?
Yeah, I heard.
And on next Saturday, next Sabbath, guess what's going to be today?
This is the high Sabbath, next Sabbath?
Next Sabbath will be the Day of Atonement.
Oh, okay. So
now,
high Sabbath, right?
In my book, I mentioned...
If the Day of Atonement falls on the Sabbath, it's a high Sabbath, right?
A super high Sabbath. And in 2011, before 2012.
Okay.
So some people are looking for miraculous things to be starting to occur because of all of these major events. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, in my book...
Yeah, I remember.
I talked about that. Last year, what year was it? It was the year... In there, I'm looking it up now so I can read it to you.
Looking it up, let me ask you something about before we get off of this food thing. A menu was suggested to me of juicing cucumber, celery, an eighth slice of green pepper, red, he said red or orange is good too, a bunch of parsley, a bunch of spinach, carrots, a whole beet, apple, a half a teaspoon of ginger, whole tomato, bunch of kale, and I think that was it. Have you ever heard any juice like that before?
Yeah, they get some good combinations out there. Yeah, there's not be no wrong with that. Hop on it, man.
That's a lot of juicing, Jack.
Hey, man, hey, you need a lot of help, so, you know, you get a lot of juices. It works. It all works for good.
He said raw nuts, almonds. He said seven raw almonds a day would do something. I forgot what he said. But
usually if you want to eat some nuts, the best way is for you to take them and...
He said eat them raw.
Soak them.
Almonds were the best, then walnuts, then pecan, then cashews, but eat them raw, though.
All right, if anybody's up on my website and you can get to the calendar of events and you can see the number, it says click here for class. On you click over and you'll see the beginning chapters.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted us to look at in the preface, which is page 9, it says in there.
Oh, hold on a minute, man. You can ring up. I heard the phone beeping, but I was trying not to answer because I didn't know about
it. Yeah, put it on mute, Bobby, because we're recording.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll see you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, I'm finished. I'm sorry about that. I forgot you was...
No problem. Okay, the last paragraph. It says, anybody got it? Jabari, do you see it?
No, I'm not online right now.
Okay, no problem. All right, Bobby, you online?
I'm online, but what am I looking for?
I'm on the preface, the last paragraph.
Oh, of your book?
Yeah. Because the same thing had happened not too long ago.
Well, let me grab this. I'll get to the book if I can get to the...
Yeah. Okay, so if you can get to that. All right, I'll read it. You can put your thing on mute. You're feeding back through. Okay. May Yahweh lead and help us all in these troublous and dangerous times we find ourselves in. With the economy failing and the $700 billion going to the rich and famous, we might be standing on the edge of great and monumentous events. Some see the economic crisis on October 9th, 2008, occurred on the Day of Atonement. And that's important. We got a crash, an economic crash, where the Bible talks about the third seal. Okay? In the third seal, it talks about that. Anybody got their Bible with them?
No.
No? Okay, no problem. Okay. Inside the third seal, it talks about a crash, a worldwide depression. So it was just interesting that on October 9th, of 2008, on the Day of Atonement, which is the beginning of the blowing of trumpets, on the seventh month, first day of the month, you blow the trumpets, according to Yahweh's calendar, which can be applied to the last days. And then the question is asked, is Yahweh trying to tell us something as we turn to his calendar? Are we listening? Is this event a warning message from Yahweh? Is this the opening of the third seal found in Revelation chapter 6? Did you know that the opening of the fourth seal will annihilate one-fourth of the population. Now, when we talk about one-fourth of the population, I think we're now at, what, 7,000? Are we at 7 billion people now? Or is it still 6 billion?
7 billion, damn, we're just growing up. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's, if it's 6 billion, then if you take half of that, that'll put you at 3 billion. You take half of that, that'll give you a quarter. And then we're talking about 1.5 billion people dying under the fourth seal. And the fourth seal is going to be the combination of famine, pestilence, disease, earthquakes, hurricanes, all of these different events, one-fourth of the population will happen to. I'm feeding back on somebody. So if anybody can hit their mute button, that'll help. So what I was trying to see and what I was trying to say was, as we approaching these days that we're in, we're going to see a lot of different things occur. And since the crash has occurred, many people have been wondering what's really going on because of the crash that did occur, and many people didn't know what to do about it. Matter of fact, they're saying that Europe is still underwater, and the economy is getting worse. I guess you guys heard just recently, I guess it was last month, that the economy went backwards again. And they've been asking for, in Europe, to print more money. And the Europeans say, no, we're not going to print more money. And then you got a bunch of states over there that's gone bankrupt and bankrupt more than two times, Greece. I mean, it's we're hitting really these events that have been prophesied about for a long time. But no one has basically made the application because most people don't see how that fits in.
Yeah, I had you muted out. The world population is the total number of living humans on the planet Earth, currently estimated to be 6.97 billion. So you might as well say 7 billion.
I thought so.
By the United States Census Bureau as of July the 1st, 2011.
July the 1st, the summer. Wow.
Yeah, so as of July 1st, they had 6.97 billion.
So, yeah, and they're expecting, I think, by, is it 2050? They're expecting 10 billion people.
Yeah, that's on here, too. Current projections show a continued increase of population. Excuse me. But a steady decline in the population growth rate. With the population to reach between 7.5 and 10.5 billion by the year 2050.
Yep, that's where we are. And those are the numbers that I've been playing with.
7.5 and 10.5 billion by the year 2050, somewhere in that area.
Yep, and that's what we're working with. Now, what I've been looking at, or what I've been trying to study and look at, is becoming very interesting. In Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 7, many people have been asking the question, okay, when is Yahweh's people going to come back on top? And that has been the question. And I thought it was going to happen, but the more I study and the more I look, it seems like I don't think so. And so there were some questions in some of the scriptures of what they were saying. I don't know if you got access to the Bible there, Bobby, of Daniel.
I can. Hold on.
Yep.
I can.
Daniel 7 there, yeah. So that we can start getting some pictures of what in the world is, what's going on here. I just thought it was interesting of some of the events and how he talks about how that this Western powers will be brought to an end. And he explains how it will be brought to an end, but he also explains that it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 7, verse number 7, I guess 7:7, and after this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. Now, we usually refer to this one as the Western rise of Western world again, as what I'm seeing as the United States of Europe, as these powers, coming back together as one, the European rule again, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. Now, the most important part I was looking at was that it has iron teeth, but it breaks in pieces, it devours and breaks in pieces and stamps the residue with his feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, the question is, what is it devouring? What is it breaking in pieces? What is it stamping? And what is the residue with his feet? Now, it could mean people. Some will say it's the remnant people as residue, as reference to that. What I'm looking at is the destruction of the entire planet, not just them. So the residue would be whatever is left over from whatever is going on. And so when we see the rise of the Western world and these manufacturing companies and all that, they are going around the world and starting to pollute every area on the planet, from the water to the air to the land. So they've been going into places. I remember, Bobby, I think I shared that with you, one of the YouTubes, that under the water, that they are trying to pull up all the water, these Coca-Cola companies and so forth, put them in bottles and ship them over to America and stuff, and then they pollute the people's land that's there and these other companies.
Yeah,
and they pollute the water so that the people can't even drink their own water.
This is a documentary called Flow.
Yes.
F-L-O-W, for the love of water.
Yep, and that's on the YouTube. Yep,
yeah,
anybody
you can see it on YouTube.
Yep, so Jabari, try to see that. That's a major one. As a matter of fact, it was required for our class, Environmental Engineering 2. That's how I learned about it. We were, like, covering all type of stuff. I said, this is illegal. They said, yes, man. So that's one thing. And so it's only the manufacturing. And we know that now that we have coal, that the Western idea of using coal, that they've been using that now in China. Jabari, you remember your cousin. He said he was in China for a month or two. Jordan?
Is he still with you?
I hope he's still there.
He might be on mute. I don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're on mute, come off mute. But I remember him mentioning, and he said that he could not. He was over there a month or two.
Hey, sorry about that. I was on mute. That's why I was like, why am I not? No one hears me, but. I was on mute, so you wouldn't hear my commotion.
No problem. So, no good. No problem. Now, do you remember what Jordan said when he was over in China, how the land looked, how the sky looked, and all that?
It was all, the sun, he never saw the sun, basically. He never saw the sun because he said, I think the pollution or clouds or something was blocking it so much you couldn't see anything.
It was the pollution.
Was he in Desert Storm by any chance?
No, not the whole song.
We're talking about China.
Oh, he was in China.
Yeah, he was in China. No, not that song. We're in China. China is the most polluting place on the planet now.
Oh, really?
All right, they're overcoming America and Europe. America and Europe used to be the number one polluters of air. Now China has, come to that place. And so the point was, he was over there 2 months and he can't see the sun because of the pollution. Check that out, man. So that was real bad. And so that, and so that's what I'm saying, this manufacturing that we're taking around the world, the Western world is taking everywhere around the planet, we're destroying all of the planet. And that's what I'm saying about this scripture. This scripture is talking about not the people, it's talking about people are insignificant. It's talking about the whole planet. Of course it's killing people, but it's killing, it's treading down the entire planet. And that's why, now, Jabbar, you said that the hole over the ozone is as big as the United States?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. You can say the U.S. is in a hole, that there's a big hole inside the ozone that actually is, like, expanding, of course, and it's gone. Yeah, I think it's about the size of the United States. It's pretty
big.
They
list on the, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. They list on the computer here that Iran is the world's most polluted city.
No, wouldn't that
Wait a minute, let me give you the city. It's AHVAZ, and it's in Iran, and they said that's the world's most polluted city.
That's interesting, because, see, Iran has oil. Now, let me give you another example. In Nigeria.
The organization says that information comes from the World Health, the WHO. World Health Organization says that, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled AHVAZ. Iran is the world's most populated, I mean polluted, not populated, polluted city.
Uh-huh, interesting. What I was saying was that inside of Nigeria, I've met some Nigerians that one is a chemical engineer up at Morgan, Dr. O. I don't know if he's in civil. And he had told me that he's an environmental engineer. He had mentioned to me that in Nigeria they had all of this oil underground. So to get to the oil, they got to go through the gas that's, you know, that's leaping off the oil. And so what they did was they spewed out the gas and they burnt the gas off. And then it polluted the whole land over there that you cannot grow or live on the land, just to get to the oil. And I said, man, that's insanity. They said that they let, you know the Western oil companies come over and do that. And I'm saying, usually you take the gas that's off top and put it in a pipeline and take the glass and use it and sell it. You just don't burn it off.
All
right. So that's what was happening. So we're seeing that these Western technologies that we're having is actually, just as the Bible has said, is devouring and breaking in pieces and stamping the planet underfoot. And I'm like, wow, this is really deep. So anyway, he explains it a little further, okay? And he says that in verse 8, that was verse 7 of Daniel chapter 7, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by its roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And then it goes into verse 9, and I beheld until the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and his hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flames, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, this is interesting, because when you reach that part, then it says, and I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now, this beast here, it talks about was thrown into the burning fire. When you read Revelation chapter 19, it tells you that at the battle with Yeshua when he comes back, that he takes the beast and he throws him into the lake of fire. So that correlates with that. But then the catch is, now this is when the thousand year begins. So during the thousand years, Satan is locked up in the pit, bottomless pit. The beast and the false prophet, Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, are thrown into the lake. Okay? Then it says here that now these other beasts, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, lives are prolonged through the thousand years. And I was like, what? This is deep. So that's something we can look at another time. But getting back to that beast, of what is it devouring and how does it relate to the people of Yahweh? Now, when we go to verse number 19, still of Daniel chapter 7, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails as brass, who devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And then talks about the ten horns again. Now, it's going to explain what actually, okay, with the residue on his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth and spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, that means the other beasts, or the other horns, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed. Now notice how long he's going to be prevailing. Now this was something that's been going through my mind recently. The saints, okay, the same made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the ancient days came and judgment was set, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So this doesn't happen until the thousand-year reign kick in. It didn't say that we're going to be over the, you know, that we're going to, that we are going to overthrow the beast power. It doesn't say that. It says that only time is going, he's going to be persecuting the people all the way up until the time that the battle, I guess we can call it the Battle of Armageddon or whatever we want to call it, the last battle. And that's where Yahweh will, you know, take Yeshua, will take the beast, throw him in the beast and the false prophets in the lake of fire and bound Satan for 1,000 years. So that's when things will change. Now, right here, it also says in verse number, break in pieces. Okay, so I just read up to verse 23, I think, the fourth beast, possess the kingdom. Okay, diverse tread. Okay, verse 23. And he said, the fourth beast, which is the fourth kingdom, which upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. So they're going to be, this power that we're talking about is diverse. This Western power is ruling the world, conquering everybody by their technology and by their education system and getting everyone to buy into this system. That's what's different than all the other beasts. All the other beasts were not worldwide. They did not encompass everybody on the planet and trick people into what we call it socially engineering the whole planet. Then it says, okay.
It says in 23 that the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth.
That's correct.
Which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth.
Right, there's the key. Okay, now, the devour
and break it in pieces.
And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. See, most of the time we were taught that this devouring and all of that was, it was destroying the remnant in the past. But that's not what the scripture said. This is what hit me this week. It didn't say that. It said that he was destroying the whole planet. I said, man, who in the world has that much power to destroy the entire planet?
Whatever the fourth kingdom is upon that.
Hey, no, man, forget all that. I mean, who's doing it today?
That's in the verse.
Yeah, no question. It's the fourth. My question is, who's doing it today?
Well, I mean,
how do we identify that beast?
That beast is still the fourth kingdom upon the earth.
No question. And that's what we have today. Who is destroying the planet, the whole planet today? I'm saying, like, what? We've been missing that. This Western power that has been, you know, it's always been Europe, and they fight against each other, created two world wars. Then that should have gave us our first hit, right? These boys create world wars. You know, we might create a war, but that's local. These boys create world wars, and then when they are tearing up the planet with their pollution, with their oil, with all the stuff that they're quote-unquote modern advanced technology.
Well, the verse 24 says the ten horns out of this kingdom. This kingdom, referring back to the fourth kingdom in verse 23.
Yep.
Are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. So according to verse 24, there's another that rises after the ten kings.
And yeah, still part of the beast, yeah.
Another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. So there's where your wearing out the saints came in.
Mm-hmm.
And think to change times and laws. And
Yahweh's calendar and holidays, or holy days, we call them today.
Given into his hands unto a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High.
That's the 1,000-year reign. Yep.
Is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my, what is that, I can't pronounce that.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in heart. So what do we have to do when you study this stuff? I mean, you had to go through and break down and list every single clue, if you want to put it that way, that was given. It's just like Revelation says, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 603:6. Then in Revelation, in Revelation 17, I think the term comes up again, that he that hath wisdom. So it's a lot to intake here in reference, you know, to who these things refer to.
Yeah. So I was just the thing that was sticking out in my mind,
mm-hmm.
now that we are dealing with sustainability and the planet is actually being destroyed.
Well, we know that Satan destroys the whole earth. I mean, he's like...
Yeah. But I'm saying now we got a scripture that tells us who's destroying the earth, identifying beasts and powers. And so the point was that I was seeing was, for the first time, I mean, I've never saw that before. I wasn't even looking at it from that perspective of who's destroying the green house.
Talking about the verse 23 where he devoured the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces.
Yes. Because that's what unsustainability is. That's all it is. It's exactly what you just read there. Nothing else. And that's where I said this stuff was like coming to life. So all the stuff I'm studying this group is when you put it in a biblical context, it's like, wow. Yahweh has been telling us for ages When Daniel written way back in B.C. time, he was telling us that, hey, there's a group that's going to come in and destroy the ozone, destroy the water, destroy the air, destroy everything on the planet. And the key is we can identify who's doing that right now. But no one dare say it.
Well, I mean, who do you say it is?
Well, it's the Western powers. It's not
Western powers. So are you saying the United States or what?
No. The Western. You know what the Western power is? The Western powers, all of the European powers running the planet.
Oh, you're talking about the European nation.
Yeah, the Europeans and America. All of them. America's just a colony of that. I mean, okay. Let me give you a good example. Today we have in Egypt. What do we have today in Egypt? Who lives in Egypt? Who's running Egypt? Africans? No. Arabs? Yes. Who are Arabs? They're colonists. Today, who's running the United States of America? Native Americans? No. Europeans, who call themselves European Americans. And they try to act like they're the real Americans, but we know that they ain't the real deal. They're just colonists. Just colonists. So we got all of these places where all these people are colonizing and running the planet, destroying the earth with their technology, with their ideas, with their, and telling everybody else in the world, hey, you should come to America. This is a city of gold. And I just spoke with a woman this week, and she had mentioned that, if you go over to listen to Jamaica and all these places, you would swear that you come and that there's gold on the street. You just got to pick it up in America. People are still perpetuating that lie, man.
And
people are coming here by the droves to find out, hey, there ain't no gold here, brothers. Ain't no gold here. Matter of fact, we're going backwards. So, and now today what we're finding out is that as these colonist groups are doing, they are literally breaking down and destroying the earth in every aspect. And so when we are studying this as, engineers and as we're studying this, we see where the powers are. It's not India, because India isn't there yet. It wasn't China, but now that China is following. See, before Chinese started following the Western power, and, they were in competition with us, right? And so now they got all the manufacturing, all the steel is being made over there. So they're just polluting that thing to the max.
Well, somebody put out a card. I thought it was interesting this weekend. Wherever, Columbus Day is Monday, right? Somebody had a card say, let's celebrate Columbus Day by walking into someone's house and telling them we live there now. I thought that was interesting.
That you didn't discover nothing, you just took over.
We can celebrate it by just walking in somebody's house and telling them that we live there now. And that's basically what Columbus did with the Indians, right? Isn't that what he
did? Exactly.
Yeah, he came on North America's shore and he put a flag in the ground and he said, we claiming this land.
For who? For the church.
He was willing to fight for the land that belonged to somebody else when he got there. So what they're saying is, in the celebration of Columbus Day, just walking to somebody's house and telling them we live in there. That's what Columbus did. I thought that was interesting.
For the church. And we conquering in the name of the church.
In the name of the church. I thought it was in the name of
God has given us that power to do that.
I thought it was in the name of Ferdinand and Isabella.
Yep. And that's how it works. And so, whatever gold and stuff, you got to bring it back to who?
It came back to the king and the queen. But the pilgrims now, they were looking for a place to worship. I don't know about Columbus. I don't know about Columbus' motive. I don't think it had nothing to do with a place to worship.
It had to do with gold and silver. That's what the Europeans were doing. They were just going around the world collecting all the gold and silver so they can rip off slaves, anything, everything. I mean, it was no mystery of what they were trying to do. Now, when you go to chapter 8, I saw some. So chapter 8 was starting to. Now notice, it said that the saints did not get there, they did not rule until after the Ancient of Days did come. So that means after the thousand, that means when the thousand years kick in. Is that right?
I have to think about what you just said. You went through it kind of fast. I didn't get it, though.
Okay, what you had read was that it says that the kingdom will be given to the saints.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It will not be given to the saints until when?
You talking about the judgment sitting the books open? That part right there?
Yep. Well, verse number is destroyed. And in verse 27, and the kingdom and the dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High.
Right.
Whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him.
Right, so in other words, the judgment came before the giving of the people, the giving to the people of the saints of the Most High, the kingdom.
And that's what I was saying, the thousand-year reign, that's when we will be given it, not before. Now, a lot of people looking for it to happen before. That's where people were asking me. Some people were asking me this week, hey, when is we going to turn this thing around? When are we going to be in charge? When are we going to, I'm saying, no, man. I said, I don't know if I read that in the book. And so when I was reading these two, three chapters, it was becoming clearer to me that, no, nothing's going to happen. And even in verse 22, in verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, the question is, how long is he going to prevail against us? Until the Ancient of Days came.
I know you read earlier how long it was going to prevail. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay, and so that's the time frame that we're looking at, all the way up to the Ancient of Days, the thousand-year reign. So now the question is, are we going to be duped into believing something else? Is someone going to tell us something else is going to be happening during this particular time frame? Now, when I come to chapter 8, it was giving me some other detailed information. And verse number, verse 9 we can look at. And out of one of them.
You go to that one. The mistake that I was looking at was 25,
mm-hmm.
7. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. That's a time.
Yes, that is correct.
So a time, times, and dividing the times, you know.
That's usually 3.5 years or 1,260 days.
Yeah.
And so I believe in the last days, that's the time frame we're going to be doing.
It has been interpreted in the past, and I haven't seen anything different, is a time is 360, and a times is 2 360s is the way they interpret it. So, 2 360s is 720.
Is that a read?
Oh, okay. This is Valerie Reed has just joined us.
Hello.
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 Okay. Well, that's what I was looking at, times, and dividing the time.
Okay. We're in the book of Daniel, and we were looking at a few things just to bring you up to speed of where we were, so that you don't get lost. And we were looking at sustainability, and we were looking at there's this fourth beast that's going to tread down the whole planet. In the past, most people have been taught that the remnant that he's going to tread underfoot is people. And we were just reading that the Bible said, no, that's not true.
Well, I would rephrase that a little different, because it does say in 23 that he shall devour the whole earth. He shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Okay, it does say that in 23. But then when you come to 25, it also tells you that he should wear out the saints of the Most High.
Yeah,
so
it
doesn't say that. It just doesn't say it in the same text.
Right. All I was saying was that when we look at it, we always looked at it as destroying the remnant.
In other words, we never emphasized.
But we never saw it.
We never emphasized that she'll devour the whole earth and she'll tread it down, that's the earth, and break it in pieces. That's what you're saying is we never emphasized that part. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we never even saw it. I never even saw it. That wasn't even part of the equation.
Well,
because when I read it, I mean, the way it was taught, when you read it up in the earlier verses.
Well, I mean, it's been there all the time. It ain't like new.
Yeah, it was new for my consciousness.
Well, that's because you're looking at it from the angle of sustainability.
Yes, because it was always there, and I never saw it in my whole life. And the question was always.
I mean, let's face it. Now, the Bible tells us that the earth groaneth for the sons. Why does that take them? That the earth groaneth for delivery of the sons of God. Or sons
no, the earth moans and groans for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm saying we know that the planet has been towed up. That's no secret. I mean, you know.
Right, but it has never been torn up.
It's worse. It gets worse as time goes on because it's just a more and more manifestation of sin, which is destruction in itself. I mean, it's defined as, and one writer says, it's an antagonistic power which unaided men cannot resist. So we're looking at the destruction of the planet is definitely a part of last days. There's no question.
Right, but there's a big difference. Like a good example would be, it took from the beginning of the fall of man up until recently, it took 6,000 years, basically, almost 6,000 years, 5,000 something years, before the degrees of the earth would increase 5 degrees. With the new technology that we have increased the earth degrees in the last 50 years.
Oh yeah.
So what we're talking about is unprecedented.
Yeah.
So this scripture, when it's talking about here, if we look at 7:7 in Daniel, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly,
mm-hmm.
and it had great iron teeth. It devoured, and that was where the key fell, and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from the rest. So the question, what I was trying to bring up, what hit me this week, it's the first time I've ever seen this in my life, that it was devouring and breaking in peace. Before, I was always taught that the residue was the remnant. And that's what, you know, that was taught. It was just people.
Mm-hmm.
Then when, as you mentioned, when we come down to the verse number 23, you said?
Yeah, verse 23.
Okay, then it specifically says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and stamp, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. So
right.
It makes it crystal clear that when it was referring to the mother verses, what is treading down, what is breaking in pieces, what is devouring, is the planet.
The planet, and everything on the planet.
Right, and everything else suffers because of that.
I mean,
animals, the man, to everybody, the next generation.
People from the earth, that's cool too, but it's breaking down the people, the planet, and everything on the planet.
Right.
Life, the trees, the air, the water, the animal life, everything. Everything is included in that.
That's right, and everything is becoming extinct under this regime.
Mm-hmm.
Under this fourth beast, under the Western world power that everybody is running after. And everybody's being tricked into it, like India, Chinese. I mean, everybody who's given up their own culture to join this one world system of destruction.
Technology.
Well, whatever we want.
They're giving up the old ways for the new ways, right?
Hey, it depends on how you play those words. That's what you're playing. You're playing on words now.
Well, I mean, they're giving up the old ways for the new ways. That's basically what.
No, because the old ways were sustainable. The new ways are non-sustainable.
I know. I mean, we're not disagreeing. We're agreeing. I'm saying that they're giving up the older ways of what we call the new ways. In other words, they look at technology. If you look at a country like China or what they call, countries that don't have technology, you know, they didn't have computers. They didn't have systems of maintaining society by chips and computers and keeping records of every single thing. India and China, them type of countries, they didn't have that stuff. But now, when Nixon came in, China you know, they hurry up and got into what we call the technology age. And now, like you said, they're trying to bring the whole world under the technology age. And that's part of the thing with trying to get these countries in a democratic mode.
A democratic mode.
You can go into a democrat, what they call, you know, what they call the voting system.
Well,
they don't want these people to elect kings, queens, and people over them like that. They want the whole world to be under the what they call a democracy or a democratic system.
You mean the buyout system? That means you pay people
They want a majority rule system or voting system, which we do know that voting systems can be rigged, as we found out not so long ago. So if you are in charge of a voting system and you run the technology that counts the votes and the news media that publishes the information and, you know, like the Bible says, the whole world wandered after the beast. If you got this whole system, then you can pretty much put in charge who you want to. Now, what's happening in some of these countries, you know, where they're fighting for oil, the Irans, Iraqs, and all them places, these people are fighting to keep their old way of life. They don't want the system. They don't want to go into technology. They don't want no computers. They don't want none of that. They want to stay with the old laws that they have. They want to stay with the old ways of life. And so now they're clashing with the people that are pretty much pushing technology down their throat. And on top of that, we know they have something that this technology needs to survive right now, which is that oil. So that's what that conflict is all about. So, you know, between the oil and who going to run this show, or y'all going to take this technology whether you want it or not, and we're going to get this oil to run this technology whether you want it or not. That's what the whole thing is about. That's what it's about.
Bring everybody under be socially engineered.
Well, bring everybody under one world government.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. And if you read, I want to say Desire of Ages in chapter 2, you'll find that when Christ came the first time, that the worlds were under, that the countries were under a one world government. So, you know, nothing is new under the sun. That's what they've been trying to do. That's what every dictator has been trying to do from day one, is bring everything under his control. Satan wants control of the whole world through one system. And that's why you had these world kingdoms, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. Alexander wanted to do it. But I was reading some stuff on Alexander just yesterday, and he was saying that Alexander, he wanted to make sure in every country that he conquered, he wanted to make sure that he put at least a Greek city in that country, just like he put Alexander in Egypt. They built Alexander in Egypt, and it named a few other places, but when he put that city or whatever city he built representing Greece in whatever country he conquered, then what he was actually pushing was the thinking of Aristotle, which is where he got a lot of his ideas from. And it mentioned in that system, I thought it was interesting, that in each one of those cities that he set up, he wanted to make sure that they had like gymnasiums and sports arenas, and because he felt all of that stuff was good for the culture, and it was a way of bringing Greek culture into all the cities that he conquered. And I thought that was very interesting, because a lot of the things that the Greeks set up are still with us today in all the countries. And when you look at the beast in Revelation, you find it has the body of the leopard, and the leopard, according to the scripture, represented Greece. So you still see this Greek influence in the setup of this world kingdom.
All right. Now, with that thought,
uh-huh.
Going back into Greek, or back into the Greek age, when you go to chapter 8, I'm looking at verse number 9. When Alexander came to Egypt and when they rewrote the books, they have you always translate their books, especially the Egyptian books and Babylonian books and wherever they went, and they would translate them over into Greek.
Right.
And then they would burn the originals so that only they would have the information.
Yeah.
And then they could rewrite history and put themselves in where they never existed.
Yeah, well, Alexander felt that the culture of the Greeks was the greatest culture in the world, and, of course, it was his culture, and he felt that in conquering the world, that it was inevitable that they put in their culture because they believed that their culture was the best culture. And so, like I said, he would set up different things of Greek origin in all the major cities that he conquered, including Africa. And that's where you got the city of Alexandria, Egypt, which, if I'm not mistaken, was it the capital at one time?
Well, when the Greeks came over and conquered, of course they made it the capital.
Yeah.
I mean, it has nothing to do with Egypt, and that's where you have the other kings after Alexander died, and that's where the translation of Greek culture started to copy and be educated according to, because the Greeks didn't have a culture. They didn't have literature. They had to go to Egypt.
Who didn't have literature?
And mathematics and
science.
Who
didn't have literature? The Greeks?
Yeah.
No, they had, let me put it this way.
They tell us one thing, but the documentation shows that when they met up with the Egyptians, that them guys had really nothing. And
Alexander's campaign was based
hold up
on
a second. They had everything.
That
they would not have had to go to the Egyptian schools to be educated.
No, I agree with you that they did not have the knowledge that came out of Africa. They did not have. I agree with you 100%. Understanding or what their campaign was based upon was the writings of their so-called wise men or whatever name you want to give to them, your Aristotles, your Platos, your...
Wait, freeze. Plato, Aristotle,
of them... Yeah, they got a lot of their stuff from the African cultures, no question.
No, not a lot of their stuff. They were trained. All of the people that you just listed, that is what they say is Greek culture. They'd never had it. They went to Egypt to learn, and then they rewrote it and brought it back.
But what I'm saying is that even before the campaign began to even go to Africa, okay, or to conquer the world, the idea that we're going to conquer the world and what strategies they use and by what means this, that, and the other, I was reading that a lot of that stuff came from those so-called, I don't know what you call those Greek men. Matter of fact, let me share something with you. I have a section
of my
Bible.
Before we get over there, I want to finish chapter 8 here. I want to finish those thoughts.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Now, over here in chapter 8 of Daniel, in verse 9, we're going to see what you're talking about. We're going to see the Greek existence come into existence, Catholicism come into existence, and all that we're seeing, a lot of that is right there. In verse 9 it says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, just like before,
right,
which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land.
Right.
And it waxed great even to the host of heaven.
Right.
And it cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, what has been hitting me this week was, okay, what did it cast down? Cast down stars.
Mm-hmm.
It closed down the host of heaven and stamped them under foot. Now, what does that mean? That's what this is, a new thing that was hitting me as I'm going through this fast. Then in verse 11, it says, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host.
Mm-hmm.
And by him, the daily was taken away. The word sacrifice is added, so I left that word out. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sin of transgression. And it came and it cast down the truth to the ground. And that's what hit me. It cast the truth to the ground and practiced and prospered. So see, it practiced and prospered, but it practicing is by falsehood, by casting the truth to the ground. And earlier we already read that what else was cast to the ground? The stars were cast to the ground and the host was cast to the ground. And I said, oh, weren't we talking about the same thing here?
Yeah.
And I heard one saint speaking and another saint said unto the certain saint that spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation, or the transgression that is practiced that brings desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? There it is again. So that's three times. The truth is trashed, it's thrown to the ground, the stars and the host. And now it asks the sanctuary. It says the sanctuary and the host should be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now we spend a lot of time on when the sanctuary and when it was cleansed and all of that. And people put it back in 1844. And I didn't want to get into all of that because that's not the parts I was looking at. The parts that I was mainly looking at was the in reference to the truth being cast down. When did the truth get cast down to the ground? And during the Greek time, that's exactly what was happening.
Exactly.
Rewriting of history, rewriting of everything, rewriting of truth. And then if you come down a few verses, I believe it says in verse 17, so he came near and where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face.
He's talking about Gabriel now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's interpreting the dream. That is correct. But
he's talking about
he
Gabriel.
Said, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So he's talking about last days when, you know. Now, as he spake with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, or at the time appointed, the end shall be. Then it talks about the ram which thou sawest.
He goes on to explain it to him. He says, the ram
which thou sawest. Talks about the. Mm-hmm.
Having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The first king of what? The first king?
Alexander. Yeah, that would make Alexander the
one. That would make Alexander the one. Now,
mm-hmm.
that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. That's the one where they interpret the four generals coming. When his kingdom was broken up, four of the generals took control of his kingdom. And I think it was, I don't remember all of them. I know one was Ptolemy, one was...
Yeah, Ptolemy was in charge of Egypt.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Now, some of that stuff that I was going to share with you earlier, I have a section in my Bible, it's called Between the Testaments, and it talks about what happened between the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and the New Testament, because there were like 400 years.
Like the Maccabees and the
Rizvah. Right, all of that stuff. So
oh, yeah,
they had
oh, yeah.
a section in here called Alexander the Great. And
before you read that, want to finish here, verse number 24.
Okay, well, I thought we was on Alexander, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is still part of Alexander and what is happening today.
Okay.
And his power shall be mighty,
right.
but not by his own power.
Right.
And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice.
Right.
Shall destroy the mighty and holy people.
Right.
Now the question is, these are the questions running through my mind
uh-huh.
as I was going through that. Okay, we already read earlier that he's going to cast truth to the ground and he will prosper in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's making clearly here, he's going to destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice as he trashed the truth to the ground.
Well,
and
he's talking almost a dead known world, but go ahead. If that ain't destroying wonderfully, I'd like to know what it is.
I would call that sorcery, pharmakia.
He destroyed most of the then known world.
You got that right.
And he definitely practiced. And it said he shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now the question is, did he destroy the mighty and the holy people? And if he did, how did he do it?
Oh, that's right, and that's catch. And that's where when you cast the truth to the ground, okay, and then okay, verse 25. And through his policy,
through his policy also,
he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Now, what is craft? That's witchcraft. That's sorcery. That's pharmakia.
We know what happened, Emmanuel. What happened was when the generals took over, and we know that Ptolemy took over in Egypt, right? And somewhere between that time and the building of what we call what's the Bible that city in chapter 11 of Acts, Antioch, that they set up these other they set up the Serapis stuff, the Serarium, whatever it is over there in Egypt where the people were worshiping. He tried to combine the Greek religion with the Egyptian religion. All of that stuff was setting up craft. No question.
Yeah, but now, okay.
They were mesmerized by that stuff, even until, like you say, in the 11th chapter of Acts, when Paul, Barnabas, and the brethren from Cyprus, and the other one from Alexandria, mentions these guys in Acts, when they met together, and the Bible said that's what they were first called Christians. So that whole scene up there in Antioch, dealing with Serapis and all of that stuff, then you got these emperors coming in later, around 134, saying that some of Serapis' worshippers were Christians, and they thought they were worshiping Christ when actually they were worshiping Serapis.
Okay, that's a lot, lots of mouthful.
That's
okay, hold, just hold it there for a second.
That's craft. Okay.
Okay, this is what we want to do. Okay, we're around at 2:45. I need to pause because we need to close this one down so that we can start another recording because it'll be too long.
I got bad news. I can't make the next one, but you're gonna record it though, right?
Oh yeah. That's exactly what we do.
Okay, well you record the next one, man. I'm gonna have to catch the recording on the next one.
And not a problem. Not a problem.
Yeah. I miss these long studies, though. But
yep, I understand.
Your son's still on?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was on mute. Listening.
Is the lady still on?
Because I thought it was the one with the echo, so I just turned it down.
Oh, okay. Is the lady still on?
Yeah,
Eleanor, she's still there, right?
Okay.
So
okay.
I would have to call in again to be able to be on that program.
You can do two things. You can call in or you can hang on. I'm going to need around 15 minutes because I got to make sure I pull everything.
If you go out and come back in, you come in the same way that you came in the first time.
Okay, I'll do that.
It's the same number, same everything.
Yeah, what time you want me to...
Okay, right now it's 2:48. Let's do it at 3 so I can have enough time to download everything and pull it together.
Okay, thank you.
So you're saying call this line back at 3.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Okay. If I can make it, Emmanuel, I will.